Renew Your Spirit by Peter Morales, President of UU Association of the U.S. We Unitarians claim to have a lot of theological diversity, yet every UU I have ever known, whether that person is a humanist, theist, pagan, Christian, or Buddhist, or refuses all labels, shares a core conviction. We all believe that things do not have to be the way they are. We refuse to accept that inequality, hatred, environmental destruction, racism, and war are inevitable parts of the human condition. We believe that we can make things better, especially when we act together. Historically, many religions have taught the opposite. They have taught that we are to accept our lot in life, that we deserve to suffer, and that things are the way they are because of predestination, original sin, karma, or some such. Religions have taught that the earthly powers that shape our world have divine sanction. They have taught that kings and queens have their power by divine right, or that the emperor or chief is a god. Why then are we UUs convinced that things need not be the way they are? We believe it because we have experienced life's possibilities. We have experienced love, beauty, joy, friendship, and a peace that transcends our understanding. We need to remember, when we witness brutality, injustice, the stupidity of our politics, heartless human exploitation by the economically powerful, and the wanton devastation of nature, when we find ourselves becoming bitter, we need to remind ourselves of our most treasured experiences, love, beauty, joy, friendship, and a peace that transcends our understanding.
So this morning we're continuing our exploration of the theme of letting go for the month of November. We printed off some more of the theme magazines at a coffee pot, some by the front door if you'd like to take one. It's a lot of interesting reading, internet links and so on in the magazine. Because of recent events, this sermon is going to be very different from the sermon I had planned when I gave the topic to Etta for the newsletter. I selected the title Rituals of Letting Go at a time when I was thinking about a member of our congregation who was potentially facing a major change in their life. As a result of the infirmities of old age, they were facing the prospect of moving from independent living in their own home to living in an institution. It was something they would not choose to do in an ideal world. The change involved letting go of their independence and a mode of living that they had known and cherished for all of their life. This is a rite of passage. It's as profound as others that we mark with ritual, birth and graduation, wedding and death. I wondered if we should have some ritual, some mark for this passage to help the individual to let go with grace, respect, acknowledgement of their sadness and fear, and above all, with an understanding that they continue to be an important part of the community and the society that has given meaning to their lives for so many years. I intended to use this one situation as a place to begin to explore the more general topic of letting go. Situations that call for us to let go when we want desperately to hold on raise questions for us. Why is this happening to me? How can I cope with this loss? What can I do to survive, if not thrive, in these new circumstances? And is there no justice in the universe? The last question is a religious question. Is there no justice in this universe? What I envisioned was a ritual of sorts, a ritual party with friends that would celebrate that rite of passage. A ritual, in my definition, is an act or action that symbolically places an event in a larger, more profound context. Most often it's an act or action that is done by members of a community, something that would be done repeatedly on specific occasions. Think marriage or death, or think the lighting of our chalice at each service. Or although Bunny Turner might not approve, think of a tea party done in a traditional manner. It's all ritual. Rituals can help us to see the events in our lives not as random acts in a chaotic universe, but the unfolding of our story in the context of a much larger story. Rituals help us to cope by placing our experience in a context that transcends our personal history. The individual may in fact lose themselves in the meaning of the ritual, and thus the pain becomes more tolerable, the joy becomes more profound and meaningful. Ritual gives meaning in the face of an otherwise chaotic universe. Ritual is also an act that builds social cohesion, an act that benefits society by surrendering the self to the ordering power of society. A ritual is a specific spiritual practice. Some spiritual practice may be done in private, but a ritual involves an element of participation with others. I hope you noticed in the story for children today that when the leaf finally decided to let go, he let go with another leaf. Our lives are marked with transitions. Every transition involves a letting go. Birth is a letting go of the security of the womb. Coming of age, in its many forms, marks the letting go of childhood, and so on to the ultimate letting go of our death. So up to this point, the sermon was unfolding along the lines that I envisioned. Then Donald Trump was elected president of the United States. Many of us were completely shocked. Some of us, the most vulnerable, were more than shocked. They were profoundly frightened by this turn. Over the past week, I participated in two virtual meetings to discuss how people were feeling after the election. The first was open to UUs from across Canada, and the second was for UU ministers in Canada. And I know there's going to be more such virtual meetings in the next week, and I'll try and get announcements out on UU Info for people who would like to participate. Other congregations across Canada held special services during the week. They opened the church up and had candlelight vigils and services to allow people to come together and express their confusion and their fears. These meetings, both virtual and in person, are rituals to help people make meaning out of a chaotic universe. The cover of the order of service today has in large type a profound Zen proverb. Let go or be dragged. Think about that for a minute. Let go or be dragged. At first, it might seem that the proverb is saying that we need to let go of anything that's taking us in a direction that we don't want to go. And you don't want to be dragged, so you let go of it. But maybe it's also saying that if you feel compelled to hang on, it may be important that you be dragged unwillingly in a new direction. When I decided to address the election of Donald Trump, it would have been easy to criticize him and his supporters for the many reasons that you all know about. On reflection, and talking to my ministerial colleagues in particular, I realized that it's more useful to criticize ourselves and those who led the cause of social justice. How did they let this happen? First, we have to acknowledge that most people who were totally surprised by the election are almost by definition out of touch with the reality of the society that we live in. I mean, if this surprised us, and it surprised me, it only means that I wasn't aware of what was going on. For me, this is the first step in letting go. I needed to let go of a delusion that our economic and political system has been working reasonably well for most of the people. This is not an easy thing for me to do. I personally have benefited tremendously over my life from the system that we live in. I've been able to get an education, become an engineer, work for some highly successful manufacturing companies. During the period of my life, I took great pride in the fact that I was making useful things. First tires, and then PVC plastic, and a for all kinds of consumer products and industrial products, and then industrial batteries that powered the cellular telephone system. I benefited from world trade. We sold millions of dollars of products to China and to India, and I got to go to India to build a factory there. When the factory that I managed in Canada closed as a result of the North American Free Trade Agreement, I got the opportunity to move to the United States to manage a factory there. And I did that for 17 years. But none of the workers in my factory in Canada got that opportunity. I believe that world trade has benefited humanity on a global basis. It has lifted millions of people out of poverty in China and in India. And I've seen it with my own eyes. And here in North America, we have a cornucopia of products available to us at incredibly low prices. As an engineer, I'm still stunned by the quality of the products produced and shipped around the world at such low unit costs. Many of us have benefited dramatically from this system, consciously or unconsciously. I've concluded that this system is working ultimately for the benefits. I had concluded that this system was working ultimately for the benefit of everyone. There were winners and losers, of course, in the chance as the world was being reshaped. But Donald Trump's election has given me reason to let go of that overly simplified analysis. See, it's the losers who are paying the price for this global change. In North America, it's been the working middle class who've seen secure, high-paying jobs with full benefits, including defined benefit pension plans, just disappear. These are the people who are paying the price for the system that has been so good to me and so many others like me. The system works for me. I grew up at a time when my father could have a 30-year career as an electrician in a paper mill. The school system and the university system worked for me. The banks worked for me. The stock market worked for me. The system of taxation worked for me. The real estate market worked for me, and the economy as a whole worked for me. But I need to let go of the delusion that all of this works for everyone, or even the majority of Canadians. When we see a system that works for some, we need to ask, who is paying the price? Here in Canada, we benefit from an economic system that converts the vast resources of this country into products for the world. In this case, in the big picture, it should be clear that it's our Indigenous people who are paying the price. They inhabited a pristine land. They had rituals that upheld their special place in the universe. In this way, living sustainably in harmony with the natural world, they gave meaning to their lives. This was taken from them as the price to be paid for the benefits that you and I share today in this land. I don't need a ritual to let go of Donald Trump. I need to hold on to that phenomenon that is Donald Trump and be dragged to a place that I really don't want to go. A place where I acknowledge that the system that I benefit from is not working for the benefit of a great many people. We need rituals that will help us get out of our delusion that we've created a system that works for the benefits of everyone. Please don't misinterpret what I'm saying. The policies that Donald Trump promotes are not the answer. But the fact that he was able to persuade so many people to follow him is a wake-up call that says that we need to change the system so that it serves a much larger segment of our society. We need to let go of the idea that Donald Trump is the problem. Donald Trump is definitely not the problem. If we were living in a truly just society, he would have no significant audience. Where then do we begin? We must begin by letting go of the idea that minor tweaking of the status quo is acceptable. You should begin by listening to those for whom the system has not been working. This is the way we put our first principle into practice, to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. This will be hard work. Let go or be dragged. I will not let go of Donald Trump. In wrestling with all that is wrong with Donald Trump, I pray that I will be dragged towards a better vision of a just society. There are many here in this congregation who can help us all in this quest. Some will be saying, "It's about time, Norm." Others will be saying, "Now hold on a minute. Nothing here is going to be simple or easy." As I wrestle with letting go of some of my cherished assumptions about the economic and governmental systems, I hope you will engage with me in this task. I think we may need some rituals to let go of visions and to re-envision where we are in the larger story of humanity. The filmmaker Michael Moore released a film called Michael Moore in Trumpland just before the U.S. election. And he predicted the outcome of the U.S. election. And I used to discount Michael Moore, but his work has stood up. His body of work is amazing. In this movie, he predicted that the Rust Belt states would be going to Trump, and that would lead to the election of him to the role of president. Maybe we should arrange a ritual viewing of that movie. I hope to watch it later today. I've downloaded it from iTunes. This is where Donald Trump has dragged me against my will. We're all trying to process what this event will mean in our lives. All I can say is, don't let go. May it be so. Amen.